Hello, everyone. This is Greg, your host of Goddamn GameCube. Welcome to Season 3. If you enjoy listening to our show, consider subscribing to us on YouTube for exclusive video content. Thank you and enjoy today's episode. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. Greg and Beppy are your hosts today. And today we're going to be finishing off the Silent Hill trilogy with Silent Hill 3. This is a fan favorite. I don't really know why. We're going to discuss this. It's a sequel to the first game. Beppy, take it away. Let's go.
Yes. So I played this immediately after 2 at your behest. I experienced the same kind of... We talked a lot last time about how I couldn't see anything with Silent Hill 2. Same deal here. It honestly, overall, I would say that this game reminded me a lot of like Resident Evil 3, where they're kind of recycling stuff.
Yeah.
Not everything. There are some kind of interesting, unique locales, but a little bit of a shorter length as well. do you remember how this game starts?
I think you're in a shopping mall, right?
Yeah, but there's like a dream sequence where you're in an amusement park.
Okay.
And it's, very strange, gives you a good taste of what's to come, which is bullshit deaths, a lot of those. That's kind of...
Isn't the intro you get hit by like a roller coaster or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you wake up in a diner. And it's, you are shortly approached by a private investigator. I should say you play as a girl in this game, unlike the first two. Heather is her name, and you're approached by a PI named Douglas. His voice actor is terrible.
No offense
to the man himself. I just mean the performance is not very good.
Yeah, it's really bad
in my opinion. He is trying to contact you about like, oh, I've been trying to find you, and she's like, fuck off, whatever. She escapes like out of back alley or whatever. And you're in a mall, and all of a sudden you start getting that Silent Hill stuff coming back,
and you get the meat. You get the meat grinders and the chains and
all your favorite stuff is back. I think the mall is a great concept for a horror location. You know, it's been in countless movies, but especially Silent Hill. I think it's a cool idea. I think it's mostly. It's just kind of wasted. The low visibility really killed it for me. And the backtracking, there's a ton of backtracking.
Yeah. In this game. The first level's incredibly annoying.
It just really lets it down. And then the other world, as always, makes it worse.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause you're just trying to get out of the mall, essentially, make your way back home. There's the enemy palette in this game is very bizarre. I couldn't really make out a ton of what I was looking at. There's some kind of these guys that have big arms.
Like Nightmare Before Christmas monsters.
Yeah, exactly. And they're everywhere. And there's some like generic kind of dogs that are similar to the ones from the first game. There's some like big, huge, like fat guys that are kind of just in your way.
Yeah.
They're like lying on the floor half the time, like Snorlax.
Yeah.
Weird kind of start to this game. I think there's an early boss that I did like. It's like a big worm.
It's
kind of it's kind of creepy looking. It has like very like human looking teeth, which I thought was strange. I liked it. It was pretty effectively designed. I gotta give credit where it's due, you know. Then we get into you go down to the subway.
I hate this. What have we said, like, on every episode of Goddamn GameCube? The sewer level is always the fucking worst.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's awful. It is very... Just more backtracking. There's going to be a lot of complaining in this episode.
Dude, I mean, we should just talk about it. Like, I hate all the one-hit deaths in this part. Like, you just get hit by the train.
Yeah, so I'll say something that I liked. There is a little optional... side story, I don't know if you either experienced or remember, where it's like a ghost, and you find kind of a memo or a newspaper or something about someone who flung themselves off the, you know, onto the tracks. And if you go down there to that station, the ghost will push you onto the tracks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it gives you time to get back up. Like, you hear the train in the distance.
Yep.
You hear the, you know, you see the light coming in the distance, gives you a chance to clamber back onto the platform.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it does not do that during the mandatory session, where if you have to go onto the tracks for a different reason and get to, there's like a little door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember this.
And all of a sudden the train's coming. Oh no, you have a finite amount of time. If you go too far in the opposite direction, it just shows up and steamrolls you.
I don't understand this. Do you know what I didn't understand about this part? I could probably look this up.
Yeah.
Is it by time or is it by script? Like, do you have a certain amount of time to get out of the way?
If you go too far in one direction, it just shows up without warning.
Yep.
If you do this thing that you're supposed to do, which I had to consult a guide to even figure this out, is approach this little door that you never even wind up going into, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But you go down onto the tracks, and then some monsters show up and you have to clamber back onto the platform before the train shows up, right?
Okay.
This is where the camera really started to frustrate me.
Because me too.
If you tap X, that's what you need to do to get back onto the platform, but it'll also pivot your character towards the nearest enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, fuck, stop locking onto the dog. Like, I'm trying
up.
To like, give me like, oh my God. And it's just like, yeah, it's an old game, but it's like...
I think it's poorly
designed.
This
is the same year that I think Wind Waker came out, 2003.
Oh, yeah,
my frame of reference. Like, mm-hmm. what's the nearest Nintendo title, I guess. Mm-hmm. And like, come on. Like, we didn't have that problem in that game.
No, I agree. It's just, I think it's bad game design. When it's a horror game, there are limited saves. They're far apart. Don't make me like fucking retread over because of one hit. There's a couple of them in this part.
Yeah.
It really irritates me.
Quite a few. Interesting that you mentioned the saves. Is that symbol? I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, like, the culty symbol.
She's like, I get a headache every time I look at it. It kind of like it's interesting foreshadowing in a little way. But you wind up you get out of the subway. You go to a construction site for 2 seconds. I was like, oh, kind of an interesting.
Mm-hmm.
area. No, we're just gonna
not really
right by it. Then there is an office building,
mm-hmm.
which is also kind of underutilized. Sort of just I don't know, I felt like you were really booking it through this game.
Mm-hmm.
Did it take you long to beat the first time you played?
No, what was this, a 5-hour game? Less than that
for me. I think it was 4.
Yeah,
altogether.
It's short.
I guess under normal circumstances, the second game would have taken me about 6 or 7.
Yeah, in my most recent playthrough of Silent Hill 2, I think it was 7 hours.
Yeah, so, I mean, already kind of a short experience, and then this one is even shorter. It's just kind of the same experience as the mall when you get into mm-hmm. that office building. It's just like, it's really dark. I need to get out of here. It is, you run into that guy, Vincent.
Yeah.
Who is kind of, he reminds me of Otacon from Metal Gear
a little bit.
But he's like, he's deliberately very cryptic, but I didn't find his character interesting at all.
Nope, me either.
It's revealed by him kind of anticlimactically that this has all been a sequel to the first game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And like, you know, many years later, 18 years later or whatever. And I it's so funny because I keep coming back to the Candyman, but it's like but it's like that was the premise of the new one, is that, you know, 18 years later or whatever, the child that was at the center of the whole conflict has grown up and it's mm-hmm. about them now. And it could have been handled so much better.
Doesn't it just feel very much like, I don't even know how to describe this. It just feels like, it makes sense that you're going to involve like the half devil child from the first game.
Yep.
But it's like, it's just so like, oh, are we about to get into the apartment part where you meet Harry dead?
I was upset.
I mean, I was upset too, but I was just like, oh, so he's just not in it. They just kill him off.
Yeah.
Off camera.
He has no lines.
He's just like slumped in a chair.
I was like, no, come on. Not my man, Harry.
Not my man. I know, but it's like, it's one of these things where like, it makes sense that they're trying to like, you know, continue the conflict, or you weren't gonna be able to hide Cheryl forever,
right?
But like, Harry's just not in it. He's just dead. Like, I don't understand.
You should have really just... well, to me, this felt like a very limited resources game.
It does.
Like, very kind of, we need another one. Yep. The second one was really successful. Like, let's get it out.
I don't even think the concept is bad. I just think it's very short. There's a lot of, I think, questionable gameplay decisions with a lot of one-hit death mechanics.
Yeah.
And they tried to expand combat, but it didn't really work. And I don't know.
That's generous.
That's like generous.
Expanding combat.
Generous.
But I before we get too far, I didn't want to skip over maybe my least favorite part of this entire game.
Oh, please.
There's a part where you're stuck in, I think, the office building, and this big kind of monstrous entity is blocking your way out. It's just like a blob or something. Mm-hmm. And you find these notes that are like, it's sort of implying, the first two games are very kind of, a lot of the puzzles are solvable via kind of exploring the metaphor. Mm-hmm. Like, how does this apply to what I'm doing? And it's sort of like you're following a fairy tale in excerpts, for like how to like, I was like, how am I going to get around this monster? And mm-hmm. what's going to be the thing? And the end of the fairy tale is like, she just said like the magic words, whatever. And Heather says them out loud, and all of a sudden you hear this big whooshing noise, and then you go back out in the hallway, the monster is gone. I'm like, fuck what? You. Like,
why was this
like,
a
you
solution?
You don't even see it happen.
Dude.
Like, oh, well, it's you just say the magic words and it's gone. Like dude, come
okay.
on.
Okay.
This is coming on the heels of like how mature the second one was.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it's the same team, too.
That's like what really shocks me. It's like did they just get it right accidentally last time? Like,
so, I mean, listen, man, I've said this a couple of times. There are only two good ones, and this game is not one of them.
Yeah. So at this point, you find Harry dead, unfortunately.
Find your dad dead.
It's pretty sad. You kill this babyish monster that killed him. It's very...
With the kind of kill... You kill the propeller man from Resident Evil 8 on the roof.
Oof. Yeah, it's very... very anticlimactic. I feel like it like that. I mean, at that point, I was like, okay, like, you know, get me into the game. Like,
yeah.
I'm energized. Like, I don't like that they killed my man.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of just, you kill the monster.
Well, this is where you meet Claudia, right? Because doesn't she mock you?
I think she, maybe earlier. I forgot about her.
Right. But you know what I mean? Where, like, I think she's in the apartment with you and, like, she mocks you.
She's
and,
sort of the main villain of this game.
Yeah, and then you kind of go up to the roof and kill the murderer, which is this monster. This is where, like, this game, I don't like it because when I feel like the first two games, even though I'm partial to the second one, the first two games have a pretty clear delineation. There is a real world. There is an other world. Monsters exist in one of them.
Right.
In this game, I'm like, what's happening? Like,
not well, they exist in both in the other ones.
No, what I'm saying is just like, well, but Heather was in the mall and now there are people, but then she goes to the other world mall and there are monsters.
Yeah.
But then she goes to her apartment, but her dad's dead. But now Claudia's here, but now there's a monster on the roof, but there's no one around. It doesn't make enough like reality sense for me. How does no one else know this is happening?
I
don't understand this.
Well, I would say that that's a gripe I have with all three is that, that line isn't drawn clearly.
Yeah,
enough. I just think in general, when it comes to, you know, cultural differences, maybe like the story structure maybe is different in Japan, whatever, but I feel like there was a right way to do this and this just wasn't it.
It wasn't it. Yeah.
Like in terms of get you into the story, like, oh no, you killed Harry, whatever, and that's like you forestall that catharsis until later.
Yep.
And that's like how you really fucking, you know, that maybe even his death shouldn't have happened until later. Maybe he's with you.
Do you think maybe you should have played as him? I thought maybe that would be smarter.
No, I mean, I think it's fine that you play as her, but having him be kind of
in the game for a little bit.
Yeah.
Rather than he just shows up as a corpse.
Like, this is a little bit of a off-kilter reference here, but Modern Warfare 2.
Okay.
Where, you know, in the first game you were playing as Soap,
mm-hmm.
and then you see Soap as a character in the second one.
Yeah,
and you
kind
of learn about him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that, where he's kind of a presence instead of just a corpse.
Cool. Honestly, I kind of laughed the first time I played
like,
it when I said, Harry's just fucking dead, just like eviscerated in an armchair. Why?
It's just
there's another weird part right there too, where like you just like put a blanket over him in his bed and with a bunch of flowers on it.
Yes.
What the fuck? Like, what is that? Wait a minute. So let's parse this all out. You go to the place where you live.
Yeah.
This is your house. Your dad is eviscerated by a monster. You go to the roof and you kill the monster. You don't like call the authorities.
Well,
to
be fair, not to interrupt what would have been a really funny point, but they do mention that nobody answers. Like they call like an ambulance.
They
I called 911. No one answer or whatever.
It's just like, why this game just like, I feel like I know Silent Hill 1 and 2 are sort of fantastical.
Yeah.
But like, this game is not grounded in enough reality for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's too bizarre.
It, like, the way people are reacting
is strange.
Is just too strange.
And I just feel like in Silent Hill 2, the voice acting is very stilted and weird. It could have been, it's probably accidental and the actors are not good.
Yeah.
But the game has a lot to do with, like, mental illness and these people are going through a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
In this game, it's just poorly performed.
Sure.
And it's weird.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
They're just going to put fucking lilies all over him in his bed with a sheet? What the fuck? It's really weird.
See you later, Harry.
Yeah, see ya, I guess. Bye, Dad. I'll be home later.
Yeah, you know, what a way for him to go out. After all the hell he went through in the first game, he killed like a fucking god at the end of it.
Now he's just dead in a chair.
Just... Yeah, he passed out watching the 49ers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, so that is when you transition into Silent Hill proper.
Yes.
You get a little car ride with she decides to trust the PI because there's nobody else around.
Nothing else you can do.
Yeah, you get a kind of a big exposition dump about, you know, the events of the first game and how they tie into this one. It's very... This is another point, to your point, where... They stay at that motel from the second game, and I'm like, you could really stay anywhere. There's nobody around.
Yeah, and it's also like, I don't understand. Like, did your dad not tell you you've been being hidden the entire time? Maybe not. But like, you're gonna go to Silent Hill and stay at this hotel? Just like, I don't understand. Does Silent Hill exist as a real town? For some people, it doesn't. Why would you stay at this place? Why would you do that? You're gonna go into like the heart of the storm here and just fucking get a room key. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But what I also don't understand is, like, you start the game outside of Silent Hill. Why is there an other world? Is Claudia making it? Like, is she magical? Like, do you get what I'm saying?
Well, this is where it's a positive in the previous game. It's a negative in this one where they leave things open to interpretation because they knew they had a clear idea and concept for the second game, and this one it's very loose.
Do you understand what I'm saying though? It's like if Silent Hill is this place where you go to get punished,
yeah,
and you go there and you're drawn there, why is Heather being fucked up a million towns over? I don't understand. Like, is Claudia making this? If so, is this a magic game? I don't get this. Like, it's not grounded in enough reality.
Can it happen anywhere? I don't know.
That's
the question.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's really strange. The hospital is a big retread.
Huge retread.
It was very kind of, we got to recycle this content. I liked, actually, a lot the Stanley side story. Do you remember that?
No, not a lot, but yeah.
He's leaving you, like, love notes and, like, a little doll.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. Very engrossing, kind of, like, I didn't know where it was leading, and it's kind of that... He winds up being like a body that you find somewhere who was dead the whole time. So strange. Yep. And then you fight that guy Leonard in the basement.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
I don't know, man. I mean, like, he was weird looking and he was creepy looking, but he calls you on the phone a couple times.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. And you eventually fight him. He's just like a big monster in the basement.
You said this before. I don't understand how you can have such like care and intellect in the second game, and the third one's just like, oh, creepy man, oh, creepy bunny, that's bloody. Like, I don't get it.
Just throwing shit at the wall. Yeah. It felt very random. You wind up back at the amusement park from your dream.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me a little bit of Resident Evil 7, where you watch that guy on the videotape.
Great part of that game.
And then you learn from his failure. Mm-hmm. You learn from your failure in the dream to, you know, circumvent the
roller coaster.
Roller coaster.
Yeah.
Pretty cool idea.
Uh-oh.
You still, like, wind up jumping off the tracks at the end, though, and I'm just kind of like, okay.
Okay.
Another concept I thought was great was the haunted house, but this is also ruined by the one-hit deaths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get chased by that red vampire mist.
And
it's
just
chasing you around the corners and you just die instantly. I'm just like, what am I doing?
This is just not the kind of game to do that.
No, definitely not. The carousel puzzle was kind of grim and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the boss fight was kind of interesting with the ghost of Alessa or whatever.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Where she, for some reason, she has a machine gun.
Yeah, at one point. I don't know.
I mean, it was kind of cool. I mean, compared to some of the other boss fights, I thought it was interesting because it's kind of going back to the Sybil one in the first game.
Yeah, kind of a throwback.
Yeah.
But that boss was way cooler.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. I loved the mirror sequence.
Yeah.
Do you remember much about that?
Only a little, but go ahead.
It's a tiny little...
It
may even be missable, is that you walk into this room with a big mirror, and all these kind of strands start appearing all over the place, like tendrils of like dark red or dark black, you know, kind of enveloping the room slowly but surely, and your character models, like in the reflection, starts getting bloody, and it's just like, if you stand there long enough, you die.
You get
game
over,
but it's a cool visual moment for sure, which I just wish this game had more of that, where it's just kind of,
this game just feels very disconnected even when you get a moment like that. Where is it coming from?
Where is it going?
I don't know.
It's in the middle of a bunch of other stuff. You get up to a kind of the final locale is the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly a slog, I'm gonna be honest.
Yep.
It's more of the same of what we've been experiencing. A handful of compelling moments, I will say, which I'd like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, even how much I've complained about not being able to see anything, they do a pretty good job at one point with your vision blurring.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember much about
that.
Yeah,
I do.
It's kind of when the other world is phasing in and out, and it's the way they made it look is, it's just disorienting enough to make me appreciate the artistic nature of it instead of just being annoyed, which is the case for a lot of stuff.
Most of these other games.
I really liked the whole tarot concept towards the end. I don't know how well it holds up to scrutiny when you actually take the puzzle into consideration.
Sure.
But I did want to talk a little bit about that, if that's okay, just because I
find
it so interesting. And something I find interesting about the first game is the way that they handle the supernatural and the occult.
Yeah.
It's very kind of unlike other games. The explanation of the concept, you pick up like a book or there's like some memos about it trying to just teach you about how it works and how you're going to solve the puzzle and everything, and I thought it was pretty like intellectually nourishing and thought-provoking compared to the rest of the game, especially
which is a lot of nothing,
which is a huge contrast. I think the context and importance is kind of nebulous. I mean, like, what does it really have to do with, you know, the end game? Like, it's like to open a door, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting, and essentially what they wind up referring to is like the principal like tarot deck, and then you have the 22 cards or whatever, and then the four cards that don't belong to it, they're basically, because of those four cards that don't belong there are inherently inhuman in nature and kind of relating to the divine, because the whole we didn't even talk about the fucking premise of this game.
Oh, right, because it's so stupid.
Is that they're trying to resurrect God.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, God, great, like the first
in,
one.
In quotes.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a less successful version of what they did in the first one.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, well, they're trying to do is like, they're trying to have Heather birth the new like God figure, essentially.
Well, yeah, because in the first game, the reason they kidnap her is because they say she will become the mother to God. Because
she was like one half of Alessa or something, right? She was another manifestation or something. Like, it was like a split, like a, I hate to say Beyond Two Souls, but kind of, right?
Or Alessa split herself to prevent it from happening.
Or something like that.
Once she died, she transferred her consciousness to somebody. I don't know. But the context is really interesting when it comes to the tarot, because you're talking about all these different, they mention a little bit towards the end how the religion of Silent Hill evolved over time, mm-hmm. and how like everything else, and there's all these kind of different, you know, Judeo-Christian concepts at play, and how, you know, with, are you familiar at all with like the Tetragrammaton or anything like that?
No.
Okay, so it's basically like, you know, kind of like a, I don't want to like butcher this explanation, but in terms of like, you're talking about a four letter or a four syllable word that is supposed to represent God.
Okay.
And it's, you know, in Hebrew, it's written out, but it's unpronounceable because okay. there's no vowels. And it's so cool because like, it's like, I guess the closest would be YHWH.
Okay.
And you hear Yahweh is one potential pronunciation, but you have like the four letters or four syllable word. And then you have the four cards that aren't part of the deck and that they represent the divine. And it's pretty cool. It's kind of connecting it together in a way. And, they call it like the major arcana is the mm-hmm. main one. And I enjoyed for a second playing this game because I am interested in that stuff.
And they tried to connect that they're getting you to birth a God. Putting these references in here.
Stuff that was a lot more present in the first game. And mm-hmm. then I'm just latching onto whatever I can.
Yeah, as we get into this, is a lot of nonsense.
Lap. So now we're going to get into your favorite part.
This is my favorite part. It's my favorite part because of how disgusting and how hilarious it is.
Yeah.
I hope everyone knows what I'm about to be talking about. Also, spoilers here.
Yeah, we're getting into the end here.
Yeah, so I kept joking to you like over Facebook chat or whatever that this is the pro-life section.
Sure.
And and I've been waiting to talk about this with someone for like 20 years. Because in this section, essentially, you get to a conflict with Claudia,
right?
And you're getting close to the birthing
right.
of the god.
I thought it was going to be a lot worse, to be honest with you. Where Heather is like holding her stomach and everything, and I'm like, oh no, are you going to have to like give birth to the god?
No, nope.
And so essentially, you have this pendant around your neck that Harry gave you a long time ago, and what you don't realize until the pivotal moment is that it's filled with that that vial,
the
from
red
the
liquid
first,
yeah,
and she ingests it. A very, very kind of touchy imagery there, where she's taking a pill because of whatever is living inside her,
mm-hmm.
and then she throws it up, thank God. And it's just kind of, it's a very like bloodborne kind of like disgusting.
So essentially she throws up the baby.
Yeah.
She throws up the little demon god baby fetus thing. And this is where I recoil in disgust. And I also laugh my ass off.
Oh, yeah.
Claudia eats the baby.
Yeah. I'll do it.
I guess fuck it. I'll fucking do it.
I'm like, I guess I'm glad that works that way. I'm glad you figured it out.
I laughed my ass off when I saw that. I said, oh, okay, this game, not only do I absolutely hate it, and I think it's hilarious, this is awful. Like, it's really funny and really disgusting, and I laughed my ass off.
At least it made me feel something. I mean, at least it was, like, imagery that was new to me and I hadn't seen before, and it was very kind of visceral. And after that, I completely checked out.
Oh, me
too. But it was a very memorable moment.
Isn't that the final boss? Like, don't you...
Well, she falls down a hole, and then you go down there, and then you fight God.
Which is like this half-woman thing that you just beat up with a samurai sword or something?
I didn't get it. Yeah, you that's like the fastest way to kill it, I think.
Oh,
and
really?
it reminded me a lot of the end of Majora's Mask.
Like
the goofy one.
Yeah, where he's kind of dancing. That
because I didn't think it was intimidating like the first two final bosses at all. I just thought, like, all right, let's get this game over with.
It's just really odd. Like, I just, this game just like gives me a headache where I'm like, I mean, the demon, eating the demon baby was like kind of funny, but like, then you have, it just kind of gets right to the final boss and I don't understand. I don't understand.
Claudia kills Vincent by stabbing him in the back. I'm like, oh, well, get rid of this character.
Okay. I guess. And there's a lot of throwaway characters, like throwaway concepts.
Well, also earlier, Douglas is going to shoot you because he thinks that will end the Silent Hill
mm-hmm.
nonsense, maybe. But at the end, once you kill the final boss, she like acts like she's going to kill him and then doesn't.
She's like kidding.
I'm like, what is this?
What's going on? You're talking about that. Yeah. The normal ending where you kind of, you look like you're possessed, but you're joking.
Yeah. I'm like,
why are you
dude,
joking around? I don't understand.
I mean, I to get him back maybe, but I don't know.
Like, they didn't pull that off
is,
very
this
well.
This is where the disconnect happens, where I wouldn't do that in real life. So why, no way. You know,
I mean, there, I guess there is one kind of cool thing. If you, so there is a moment right before, you fight the final boss, where, like, if you choose to shoot Claudia, it's game over and you birth the god, but it doesn't really show you. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, yeah. I did read something
about
that.
You have to use an item. You know, it gives you control of Heather, and you have to use the item during that cutscene.
Well, the whole thing, or so they say, in the process of the game is that she's kind of doing, like, a Star Wars Emperor thing where she's like, I can feel your anger. Like, you're like, you know, and the more hate that brews in Heather, like, the more nourishing to the god it is.
Yeah.
And then, like, at the end, presumably, if you give in to that, that's when it will reach maturity or whatever.
Sure.
But I don't know, man, like, the end of that game, what did you feel the first time you played it?
Nothing. Like, I just I didn't understand the entire experience.
Did you I mean, okay, so you played the second one first, right? And then you played the
first
one.
Yeah, I played 2-1-3.
And so, I mean, I know you just said this, but, like, assuming that this was going to be, like, the end, like, what did you walk out of that experience with?
I just, like, I played all of these, like, in high school, like, kind of back to back to back.
Yeah.
My experience with the third one was kind of a head scratcher, where I said, I get it, where they're trying to, Heather has now grown up, or Cheryl has grown up. And they're trying to recall the first game. I actually thought it was really cool how Silent Hill 2 is not a sequel to the first one.
Yeah.
Where the third one is.
Yeah.
But it's just handled with so many throwaway ideas and disconnected sequences.
Yeah.
I hated it. Like, the gameplay is just as shitty. There's now one-hit death mechanics that suck.
Yeah.
And you get to the end of the... Here's the thing. I'm going to try to be succinct here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the culty, religious Silent Hill. I don't like it. It's not my favorite. Because I don't think it's grounded in enough reality. Where, like, when you have Silent Hill 2, you have James's personal story, and that's it.
Yeah.
In Silent
Hill... I don't mind it as long as there's rules, which there are.
There are no rules in the third one at all.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even start in Silent Hill, but there's an other world, mm-hmm. which is kind of implied that Claudia is creating this nightmare, which doesn't make any fucking sense. Does that mean she could just do it anywhere? Then you have, like, the detective who, like, for some reason he's been following you, and it's, like, it's acted poorly. You go home to your dad, and Harry's just dead. He doesn't have any involvement in the game.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. The game's, like, 4 hours. It's weird. I don't get it.
That's why the UFO ending in this one is the best one.
Okay, go ahead.
Because it rectifies all that. And did you watch this one?
I didn't. I never got it when I played it.
So Heather comes home and Harry's alive.
Okay.
And he's drinking tea with an alien. And he's like, oh, my God, are you OK? She's like, yeah, all this stuff happened. He's like, I'm going to Silent Hill and kick some ass or something. And it shows him like James is also there.
Okay.
Like, I'm presuming that these endings are, you know, overlapping. And then James is like holding a board that he just like karate chops. And it shows like them and like the aliens like destroying Silent Hill.
Why do I feel like that almost makes more sense than like what they tried to? Oh, hey, it's a stupid alien experiment. Great,
and then that's it.
I mean, was that it for the third game? Like, I don't even know what to say about it. Like, okay. In the comments, I want to know why this is a fan favorite, because I really did not like any of it at all. Because the gameplay is not better. The symbolism and stuff is not better. The story's not better. The voice acting is arguably worse.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a stupid resolution. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand this. Like, I don't even know what do you grade this? I don't know.
What do I grade it?
I don't know.
Shit.
For me, it's a C minus, a D. I don't know.
I was going to say, like, maybe a 5.
I mean... I think it, yeah. I
don't know, like, in terms of, I was really kind of on autopilot for this one.
Me too, totally.
I want to say that I'm glad I played these three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, big kind of empty hole in my gaming to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little surprised for the audience. We are at some point going to talk about the other games. Not right now. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to address the main ones. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more fun down the road when we address those.
Yeah, so we're just going to do the trilogy for now, right in time for Halloween. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of Silent Hill games after this, and there's a lot to talk about. It's not necessarily good. But you know, I'm glad you played these for the first time. I feel like it's almost like gaming academia. Like, you got to see it.
Yeah.
It's like, you never played these. They're a huge part of gaming history. And
you gotta do your homework.
Yeah. And listen, you guys can quote me all day on the internet. There are only two good Silent Hill games.
Okay.
The first one and the second one. I think that's going to do for this. Did you have any other final thoughts before we close this out?
No,
thank God. Yeah. Me either. Yeah. Silent Hill 3 sucks.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, that's a wrap. Thank you guys so much, and we'll catch you next time.